Yeah, my only hope was Betty Lou. She was the one. A combination AK-57 Uzi Raider laser triple barrel double scoped heat seeking shotgun.
Time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
Okay, there's some live footage there from Virginia right now. Things are seeming to heat up a little bit. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 15th of January, and it's a Wednesday. We've got quite a few things to cover with you tonight. Most important right now is apparently the governor has declared Virginia, and I haven't read the whole story. It just came out a couple hours ago, but declaring Virginia a... or declared a state of emergency after they claim armed militias have threatened to storm the Capitol. Well, you know, back in that part of the country, I wouldn't be terribly surprised if what that wasn't true. It may have happened. I don't know. But more than likely, it is nothing more than scare tactics, false flag material. And but nevertheless, you know, whatever it is, doesn't matter. They have declared it or the governor has declared it a disaster, state of emergency. I keep saying disaster. So, and everybody keeps asking as well, is everybody militias going to Virginia? Well, I hope not. You know, Virginia has an image to uphold. They have their own problems. They kind of did this to themselves. And it's not that I'm unsympathetic to them, because I am. I'm not. I'm not unsympathetic to them. I think we'd be shooting ourselves in the foot, so to speak, if we did that. If something like this is actually going to happen in Virginia, then, you know, for my money, I would say that the individual states should take care of their own dirty laundry and not be away from their homes and everything going and babysitting Virginia. There will unquestionably be help from the outside going into Virginia. There's no doubt about that. But as far as everybody loading up and going there, I just don't think that's a good idea. If it blows up there in Virginia, I'm pretty confident that there's going to be some things going on in some of the other states as well. By the way, I'm hoping I did this without even checking, so I'm hoping there's the sound is good in the chat room and everything. Everything else seems to be all the little needles are bouncing up and down, and all the little pretty colors are working, so everything should be good. Let me know if it's not. If only one of you is not, then you need to refresh while everybody else don't. And I just said that to somebody that if you need to do that, you can't hear me anyway, so disregard. Anyway, a lot of stuff happening here. I told you last week or Monday that I would share some information with you, and I'm going to do that. One of the things we talked about was the emergency masks for mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and these are critical in this day and age. You know, 50 years ago, maybe it wasn't quite such a big deal, but right now it is a big deal. There are just way too many diseases and stuff going around out there. And some people are just damn sure nasty, you know. So these little masks are instantly deployed. They work really quick. And you can, just carry one as a – I talked about these one time before. It's been probably close to a year, several months. But you can just carry – they have key rings on them. Make it your key fob and carry one with you. They're a little bitty, you know, maybe inch and a quarter square, less than a half inch thick. They don't weigh hardly anything. So you can put one on a – use it as a zipper fob, a zipper handle, or clip it to the your purse, your backpack, drop one in your pocket. There's no reason not to have one. And as we get ready to take this CERT training again, these are some of the things that I'm going. They're not required in the pack, so I'm going to recommend some of these things for that. And they're cheap. You can get, and I recommend getting them in bulk, so you can put, you know, in different places, a glove box of your car and your all your first aid kits and stuff. So you'll have them. And take one or two and mark them as training and practice getting that thing out of there and unfolding it and getting it where it's usable right away. And you can buy 20 of them. I'm looking at it right here. You can buy 20 of them for $14.95. That's a low price. I know. So, and there's all kinds of them on Amazon. These, They're called CPR face shield mask, key ring chain, emergency kit, blah, blah, blah. This particular one, there's several of them on there, but this particular one will give you a starting place to check prices, although I don't think you're going to find any cheaper than 20 of them for $14.95. But, write this down real quick. I'll wait until you get a pencil. All right, if it took any longer than that to get a pencil, then you're not prepared. Okay, Lima, Sierra, India, Kilo, Alpha, Dash, Zulu. LSIKA-Z. That's one of many that's available out there. They come in separate different colors. You can buy them individually. You can buy them in bulk packs, you know, 5, 10, 20 at a time or more, especially if you're, like, teaching classes or something. So that's one of the things I wanted to share with you. Another one was tourniquets, and I know that I talked about these about the same time, probably close to a year ago, several months ago. And this brand right here works like the CAT, some of these other rapid, you know, one-hand operational tourniquets. But these were like $25 for three of them, as opposed to, you know, almost $30 or more for some of the other ones. These come, lots and lots of reviews, not a single bad review. Some of them there claim to be medical professionals and law enforcement and talked about the lives that they've saved and stuff. So, you gotta consider that, you know, as a small percentage of those are probably fake, but, there was lots and lots of reviews there. So I consider that to be, you know, and there was like, I think there were four and a half or five stars. So anyway, this particular one, there's lots of them on there, but write this down. This is kind of long. It's like Russian or something. I don't know what it is, but it comes in this particular one come in a package of three for $21, $22, $25, something. Free shipping. There's no reason in the world that you shouldn't have some of these tourniquets. Okay, write this down. S-Z-C-T-K-L-I-N-K for link. So that's Sierra, Zulu, Charlie, Tango, Kilo, Lima, India, November, Kilo. I can't recommend these strong enough, or recommend something strong enough that you have some of these items in your emergency kit. Okay, another thing that not just for cert training or whatever, but this is for, you know, common sense for you. This is things that you should have in your back bag, in your bug out bag and stuff. And this is something we haven't talked about because I've always used various other tools to take the place of this, but they've got what's called a 4-in-1 tool. The 4-in-1 tool is pretty compact. It's a foot long, and of course it's made, you know, out of good metal, good steel. And this particular tool is good for everything from, you know, lifting manhole covers to turning water off. It's got a what we used to call a curb stop wrench on the bottom of it, so you can stick down in the meter box and turn the water off. It has a gas turn off notch in the middle of it, and you know, several different things that you can use it for, prying and a little bit of chopping and lifting heavy things. And it's small and lightweight, and man, I mean, you ought to have one of these available. You come up on a burning house, or you know, house roof caved in because of snow, or the roof left because of a hurricane or whatever it may be, need to get that gas shut off, get the water shut off, you know, something handy to have with you. If nothing more than a water main, you know, I mean, a water service breaks, water in the house, you know, it froze and broke under the house or something. Have your little 4-in-1 tool handy so you can dash out there right quick and shut the water off at the meter. And they're less than $20. This particular one that I'm looking at is $18, but they've got some other ones that go up to 19, 20, 21. I think there was something that's $15. Look at the reviews on it and make sure that it's a good solid one, you know, made out of good material. But I think this is something that needs to go along with your, other emergency tools, other items in your kit there with your, it would be something that you would carry with you. Maybe not necessarily in, you know, I'm going to take that back. It would be something to have in your 72-hour kit. If you had to leave and you come upon some place where the water has been shut off and you need water, that might be a good thing to have with you to turn that water on, fill your Camelbacks and your canteens and stuff. So I recommend that you get one here. Okay, what else? We have one other thing here that I want to share with you, and I've always just kind of taken this for granted and not really shared it with anybody because, I'm talking about colloidal silver. Of course, I've shared it with you 1,000 times, but we were talking to some people and friends in California, and one of them's dad, you know, he's 80, 85 years old or whatever, had gone to the hospital, and because he went to the hospital and they had to put a stent in and everything, he wound up getting an infection. And when they got all that done, another infection, and I said, you know what? If that guy would have had silver in his body when this happened, it wouldn't have happened. You know, it most likely would have been either non-existent problem or drastically reduced. So, you know, you all know very well what I think of silver. We've talked about this, I haven't, God knows how many times. But for those of you that may be going into the hospital for whatever reason, I beg you, take silver 2 or 3 times a day for a few days prior to going in. Because more people die of infections probably than any other single thing hospitals. So, it's almost free. There's no reason whatsoever not to have that silver in your body when you go in under the knife. So if you're not making it, don't know how, don't feel comfortable with it, well, go buy it. But whatever, have it in your body when you go in there. I think it's a prudent thing to do. All right. Now, before we get on to some other things here, I want to tell you again that there's been some changes. There's considerable changes in the archives. We're getting rid of a lot of the music things in the archive, turn this more into an information program like it was in the beginning. Any new shows, with the exception of Liberty Lounge, which there'll still be a few of those on the archives, but I've taken quite a few off. Joyful Noise will be moving to a podcast site, and it's concrete and has got a new site called it's Joyful Noise, but with a Y instead of an I, joyfulnoise.podbean.com. And we'll leave his shows on the archives for the day that they're recorded or the day that they're broadcast. And then they'll be deleted from the archives, and you can go to his podcast site and listen to those. So any future shows other than those 3 shows, we're only going to have like 2 songs at any given time. I mean, at any, you know, throughout the show. They need to be information shows. So maybe a song to begin with or a song to end with and the song in the middle somewhere for a little break or whatever. I don't care at what intervals they are, but we're going to cut down on the amount of music. If we lack the information to share, then we need to not be doing the shows. I know we all have a lot of information, but I think sometimes we've used music to take up time and fill space when we didn't have anything else, or, you know, didn't feel like messing with it or whatever. So all that's going to change, and it's effective ASAP. So speaking of that, I think I'm going to get some things together here and take a little short break, and we'll be back with a whole bunch of information. So stand by, and I'll be right back.
I understand that, but
the goal is due to walk out a $4 trillion solution, which is basically just a way for the Democrats to avoid dealing with this until 2017. I'm not here to talk about plans to deal with this till 2017. I'm saying we've got a real problem, and I'm tired of Republicans and Democrats who either want Republicans who want to burn the place to the ground, and Democrats, with all due respect, who want to offer a plan that gets it through their end of their second term of their presidency, and then screws me and my kids when it's over. And until we do that, we have to deal with the extraction that is at foot. It is the reason the financial markets are behaving the way they're behaving. That is a mathematical fact. This is not some opinion. This is a mathematical fact. Tens of trillions of dollars are being extracted from the United States of America. Democrats aren't doing it. Republicans are not doing it. An entire integrated system, financial system, trading system, taxing system that was created by both parties over a period of 2 decades is at work on our entire country right now. And we're sitting here arguing about whether we should do the $4 trillion plan that kicks the can down the road for the president for 2017 or burn the place to the ground, both of which are reckless, irresponsible, and stupid. And the fact of the matter is, until we actually, and I'm sorry to lose my temper, but I'll tell you what, I've been coming on TV for 3 years doing this. And the fact of the matter is that there's a refusal on both the Democratic and the Republican side of the aisle to acknowledge the mathematical problem, which is that the United States of America is being extracted. It's being extracted through banking, it's being extracted through trade, and it's being extracted through taxation. And there's not a single politician that has stepped forward, Susan, to deal with this.
But there's only one right now. The leader of the free world, whether you like it or not, the president of the United States is arguably one of the most powerful individuals we have out there.
But Susan, what you're saying is exactly the point that Dylan is making. It's not about one guy. It's about all of them.
No, I actually disagree. I think Dylan's saying it is about one guy.
It is about one guy.
What would you like him to do?
I would like him to go to the people of the United States of America and say, people of the United States of America, your Congress is bought. Your Congress is incapable of making legislation on health care, banking, trade, or taxes, because if they do it, they will lose their political funding and they won't do it. But I'm the President of the United States, and I won't have a country that is run by a bought Congress. So I'm not going to work with a bought Congress and try to be Mr. Big Guy. I'm working with the bought Congress. I'm going to abandon the bought Congress like Teddy Roosevelt did, and I'm going to go to the people of the United States and I'm going to say, you've got a bought Congress. And until we get rid of the bought Congress, which is Jimmy Williams' constant point, which is get the money out of politics, and until a president says that's the problem and says he's going to fix it, there is no policy that I can possibly see, no matter how brilliant your idea may be, or your idea, or my idea, or her idea, or your idea at home, is. That idea will not happen as long as there is the capacity to basically fire a politician who disagrees with me by taking funding away from him. Is that a fair assessment?
Money in politics is the root of all political evil. It is corruption at its worst. And until we step up and kick that out of the park, it's going to be the same system all
and
over.
Only the president could do that. We're going to
No, no, no. The Congress has to do it, too. The Congress has to do it, too.
But I'll tell you what. How bad does it have to get? How much money has to be extracted? How many things have to be hurt?
The brass tacks. Okay, physically, what do you do?
You go and give a speech.
Right now.
You say,
and then what happens tomorrow?
Tomorrow what happens is you begin the process of actually investing in solving the problem. So I come out and I say, I create an infrastructure bank with 2% blending immediately. There's here's that. Once I explain to people the problem, once I explain to you you have cancer, once you understand how screwed up your trade, tax, and banking policies are, believe me, you will have no issue when I incorporate an infrastructure bank that I fund with repatriated offshore money that I bring in and then use to create 2% direct lending to every business in America. Because when you realize that the banking system is fully corrupt and defrauding us, and I come out and say that, which is what I want my president to do, that then at that exact moment I say, you know what, we got a screwed up situation here, people. You all know it, and now what? I'm going to admit it. And as a result, not only have I admitted it, but we're going to begin the process of solving it like grown-ups. They did it in World War II. They did it after the Civil War. They did it in Latin America with the Brady Bonds. We are not seeing it happen now. The panel stays a little more emotional than I anticipated getting at work this afternoon, but what am I going to do?
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, let's get a little more of this stuff out of the way here. Got a kind of a news blast again here. Got a lot of stuff we need to take care of. So this one's kind of funny. Actually, it's a lot funny. This was out of Florida. The cops were called for a woman screaming, "Let me out! Let me out!" Well, it was a parrot. Someone had taught that parrot to holler when he's in his cage, and holler and let him to holler to people to let him out. And he just kept on and kept on and kept on. The neighbors called the police, and they came and found a parrot in a cage. So there you have it. There's news out of Florida. Now, this is not good news. This is not funny. This was out of New Mexico. Not the KOAT. No. I got it off of New Mexico station, but it was in Pennsylvania at a Walmart. Someone, some demented, deranged, sorry, no good, low life, pathetic individual turned loose a bunch of bed bugs in the changing room at Walmart. They know it was done on purpose. They found a pill bottle with some dead ones in it, and they found another pill bottle in the pocket of a jacket that had been tried on, and either the guy forgot it or whatever, I don't know, the guy, the gal, whoever it was. But bed bugs are not funny. Fortunately, at least at this time, I figure with all the genetic engineering and stuff that's going on, that could change at some point, but right now, bed bugs don't carry diseases, and that's a wonderful thing. But I'll tell you what they do carry, and that is invincibility as an organization, because they are hard as hell to get rid of. You can eventually do it, but the easiest way is just to burn the house down. Don't take anything with you. Grab your guns, leave naked, leave all your clothes, bedding, and everything, and just burn the house down. That's the fastest, easiest, surest way to get rid of them. But if you're not going to do that, then you have to resort to other drastic measures. But anyway, this was, I never thought about even remotely anything like that ever passed crossing my mind that someone would do that, but they did, and it's not good news. You know, in Virginia, we talked at the beginning of the show about the state of emergency that they've declared there. Virginia just won't give up. You know what? These people have, like I said, they have an image to uphold there. Look at their state flag. Their state flag says, what is it, Sic Semper Tyrannis or something like that? And it means something, thus for the tyrant or something. I don't remember. But, and it shows a gal standing there with a sword and a spear and over a tyrant. The king, his crown has been knocked off. He's got a piece of chain in one hand, and And these people need to look at their state flag and figure out who they are. There was another deal here where the Virginia is vowing to shut down all gun ranges that are not owned by the state. Well, what does that do? I'll tell you exactly what it does. It brings more money to them. The restrictions then can be easier enforced. And it shuts down, you know, it cuts down, gets rid of thousands of other ranges around the state. And only keeps the ones that are owned by the state. So that's just one more of the many attacks. There's another one, also out of Virginia. They're asking for $6.8 million. The governor's asking for $6.8 million for 28 special jackbooted thugs to enforce laws that haven't even been enacted yet. They're doing everything they can. They're looking to, you know, limit people to one gun a month, and they're looking at banning ammunition, their assault weapons ban. I mean, just on and on. They just won't give up. And, whoops, I shouldn't have done that. Let's do this again here. Let's see here. All right, almost there. There it is. All right, I'm back. So, let's see. I think that's all out of Virginia right now. You remember when we had the, I know, of course you do. You were listening to the Shooting Bench when it happened. We had the Wallow Fire when we were over in New Mexico, over in Luna. The Wallow Fire was the biggest wildfire in the history of Arizona. And it was over 500,000 acres. Story has it, and I talked to someone that was actually in a position to give me good information at the time. They said that fire was close to that size, but it wasn't quite that big yet. But somebody right over there between Luna and Nutrioso, or I mean Luna and Alpine, had they'd stopped it at the road, and somebody had either carried a shovel full of coals or threw a burning stick or did something to make that fire cross the road, because this particular firefighter wanted to be, had been involved in the largest fire in Arizona history. Well, along those lines, you know that Australia is burning up right now. A lot of survival stories coming out of Australia from everything from, you know, saving animals and saving human lives and saving homesteads. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. Well, out of all that, they've also arrested, at the time that this story came out a few days ago, had arrested 183 people that were somehow involved with setting these fires. And they had, oh, there was some that, you know, varying degrees of involvement. Some of them the actual fire bugs out there setting the fires, and other ones that supported them traveled, you know, carried them from one place to another. Said 180 alleged arson cases have been recorded since the start of 2019. Now, this is all, you know, this thing's been burning for a while. 29 blazes deliberately lit in the Shoalhaven region. And Shoalhaven fires were lit between July and September last year, with Kempsey recording 27 deliberately set fires. Police arrested 183 people for lighting fires across Queensland, Victoria, South Australia, and Tasmania. They show that since November 8th, 24 more people have been arrested for deliberately starting fires, while 184 have been charged or cautioned for bushfire-related offenses. So I don't know what possesses somebody to do something like that, but that's pretty low. And I hope they are disciplined accordingly. I guess after France had ordered a bunch of FN SCARs for their sniper rifles, and now they've ordered 75,000 Glocks. And I think the reason is because it doesn't hurt them any when you drop them. But anyway, they've ordered the Glock. Forgot what model it was. But, you know, all kidding aside, I think they've made a great choice. And no small secret here what kind of a fan I am of the Glock. And I know, we're going to hear Doc with some wiseacre comments here. Just stand by just for a minute, and it'll pop up in just a minute. Let's see here. Hawaii's trying to follow Virginia. They're wanting to make a 5-round magazine limit for semi-automatics there. And pro-gun people there are warning that this is not going to go well. Now, and we've talked about Hawaii and concealed carry permits before. They've had a concealed carry law for many years. And to this day, still yet, right now, as I reckon at this moment, not a single CCW permit has been issued. Not one. That is zero. None. For all this time. No special favors for the governor's son or, you know, the mayor's wife or whatever. There have been zero. So, we'll see, you know, I want to see what all these people are made of here. All these attacks is the biggest defense going to be on Facebook? Are the Facebook warriors going to come out and solve all these problems? That's what I'm kind of expecting, but I hope I'm wrong. And I got it. What time? It's time we got. Oh, we're doing all right. This story here is out of the Military Times. A National Guardsman was fired from the Postal Service in 2000 for military service. Well, he has received a notice to return to work. He was gone for a long time. He was a Master Sergeant. No, he's Sergeant Major. And awarded a Purple Heart and all this stuff. Now, you know, it's one thing I would kind of expect a private industry, private company to do that. Not that it's right. I would not approve. But the Postal Service, a federal agency, you know, a federal entity there is going to fire someone for being in the National Guard. Well, it took a while. He sued, of course. It took a long time, you know, several years. But at any rate, in, let's see, well, it goes on here, you know, 2011 something happened, 2014 something happened, and the Postal Service, they say in 2014, the Merit Systems Protection Board ordered the Postal Service to reinstate him and award him nearly 14 years of lost wages and benefits. That's going to be hard for the post office to do. With all the email and texting and everything else, you know, post office not doing quite as much business as they used to do. He said, I answered the call of duty and served my country and got fired for it. 5 years later, they said his attorney said that they still hadn't reinstated him. So that would have been last year. And said the service repeatedly cited letters being sent to outdated mailing addresses as proof that it was attempting to contact Erickson. Anyway, naturally, a representative from the Postal Service has declined comment, if you can imagine that. Okay. Well, as naturally as the things go here sometime, I'm going to have to cut this a little bit short because I got a lot of the information out that I wanted to get out. Let me check one more thing here real quick. This is a good one. Carjacking suspects foiled by car's manual transmission. That's two or three of those that I've heard of. Get in there and they got a stick shift and they're stuck. Can't figure out what to do. The Incredible Hulk. You remember him? Lou Ferrigno? Amy met Lou Ferrigno in person at a gym that she used to go to in California. Said he is the nicest guy you could ever possibly meet. Great guy. But anyway, he's going to be a sheriff's deputy in Socorro County, New Mexico. The Socorro County Sheriff William Armijo is scheduled to deputize him. I think this happened last week, I believe. So that's interesting that he would have that kind of, obviously got some money and had some titles and besides for his TV show and everything, but he has chosen to serve the people. And this is not his first stint in law enforcement either. So I think that's interesting. That's good. There's a story there that I'm going to have to read to you. I got two of them here that's going to take quite a while. Another thing, New Hampshire. New Hampshire is going to be or is now our next and latest concealed carry state. So odd that some of these things go on back east and then right next door, 50 miles away, we have concealed carry, constitutional carry going on. All right, well, I got a little filler I'm going to slip in here that I've played three other times since I've been doing the show, I think, and three or four. One of them was not too awful long ago, but I've got to throw it in there right now. Remember, I'm trying to do the best I can to give you updated, real, honest-to-goodness, fresh shows and still keep my campaign going strong. So forgive me if I'm not quite up to snuff for the way we used to do things, but I am definitely doing my best. And anyone that's interested in my campaign, want to know anything about it, go to copeforsheriff.com, cope and the number 4, sheriff.com. There's also a way to donate there if you're interested in helping me become probably the first constitutional sheriff that Apache County, Arizona has ever had. So I'm going to throw this out there, and then I'll be sneaking out the back door right as it ends. So stay with me. Hang on just a second. I'll get this thing to go in here.
All right. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. This is Nostalgia Central here. We've got a few clips for you from various places that the show has been put on. We haven't nearly got all of them by any remote stretch, but we've got quite a few, and I just wanted to throw this in here. This first one, we missed about half of about the first 30 minutes of the show. This was the very first show, certainly the first Shooting Bench, to be done after the collapse of the Watchmen. This was the first show done on Just Measures Radio Network on the 6th of June in 2011, and this was done from a little town in Nevada called Eureka. And we're just going to listen to little clips from a few of these and move on from there. Let's listen in here.
You know what, T-Dog? We may try to get Miss Amy in here. She has migrated in here to this diner and is bonding with these folks here. Nice people here. This in Eureka, Nevada, when you drive up there, it says the friendliest little town on the loneliest road in America. And that's why we had to stop here and do it, because the next stop is Ely, Nevada, and it's, it's 100, 120 miles, and there's nothing but barbed wire fence between here and there and a few road signs, a couple of antelope maybe. Once again, this is the Shooting Bench. I don't know how this is about the ninth time I've said this. This is the Shooting Bench. I am Cope Reynolds, and this is coming to you live and in Technicolor from Moab, Utah. One of the most incredible views in the world. The land, terrain features and stuff around here are unlike anything anybody else has to offer. We love coming through here. I've been here like a million times, but I never get tired of it. It's astounding. So that's where we're at now. This is the 7th of June.
Okay, welcome. It is Tuesday, the 2nd of August, the day before Hump Day, the day before Jason and I will go forth into deep into enemy territory, into the belly of the beast, to educate folks in the fine art of pistol craft. We're headed to Ohio tomorrow at 0:30 in the morning, and we should be to Just Measures Coin Shop sometime late tomorrow evening. All right. Where in the world is Cope and Jason? Hello, it is Thursday, the 4th of August already, and we are in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Jason and I, we've made a long trip, 26 hours of driving. Welcome to another edition of the Shooting Bench. We drove 26, or we drove 18 hours yesterday and stopped where in the heck did we stop? I was tired last night. Little Rock, Arkansas. And this morning got up and come on in to Mount Vernon, Indiana. Anyway, here we are. Jeez, what a trip. Where in the world are Cope and Jason right now? Well, we are in, well, the locals call it Belle Fountain. It's spelled Bellefontaine, so I don't know what it is. It's you can look on the map and call it whatever you want to. But this has been an experience. I told you that Oklahoma's roads suck pretty bad, and Arkansas just sucks, period. And we've got here at Ohio. I've never been a real big fan of Ohio, but I was kind of grateful to get here this time. I found that Ohio is more better than some of the other ones we've been through. This is my third tour to Ohio. Yeah, Jason says we're in BF Ohio, if you can figure that out. And we got here, and our host, gracious, got a nice place to shoot out there. We got here a little late because we stayed with Bobby a little long last night, but we're going to make that up to him tomorrow. And it's been a lot of fun. By the way, for those of you that didn't know this already, it is Friday, the 5th of August already.
Welcome to another edition of the Shooting Bench. We are coming to you, Jason and I, live and in Technicolor from, well, I was going to say beautiful downtown St. Louis, but
it's more beautiful than Illinois.
Yeah, it is. It is beautiful because we just come out of Illinois. So we, and that's why we're late, because we didn't want to stop and do it behind enemy lines. I was afraid that I didn't know if Jay, we've only got two AKs with us and a limited amount of ammunition, and I'm not sure that Jason would have been able to hold them off. And I may have had to play a long commercial break so I could get out there and help him stand them off here. So we made a dash to get inside America here, and we just did it. We're stopped at a gas station in the sunshine in the middle of nowhere, but we are in St. Louis. So if you hear the traffic going by and everything, we're stopped at a, what is that, Jason? Diarrhea Queen or Sonic or some little ice cream place here. And
tuning in on us here, it is Tuesday, the 9th of August. And we're coming to you live and in Technicolor from beautiful downtown Shamrock, Texas. We are at Big Vern's Steakhouse in Shamrock. The folks at Big Vern's Steakhouse have been kind enough to let us borrow their air conditioning and their television, their Diet Cokes here for a little bit, and to bring you the Shooting Bench. And next weekend is Pioneer Days in Luna. If you guys can possibly swing the time and money to swing by here and check this out, you will be absolutely flabbergasted. This is a little town. It's not even a town. It just barely classifies as a community. There's 158 people in an unincorporated area. We have Southwest Shooting Authority and one little tiny bitty store two gas pumps, and a post office, and that's it, and 158 people, and that's all there is. But when it comes Pioneer Days, they have, you know, it the average rodeo, professional rodeo, stuff you see on TV, sometimes has 20 and 30 teams, say, team roping and stuff like that, bulldog and whatever. There are over 50 teams come to this rodeo. I don't have any idea what is so appealing about this little rodeo in this town. Okay, here we are. We are welcome to a special edition of the Shooting Bench on Just Measures Radio. We are coming to you live and in, I was going to say Technicolor, but not really. It's a little bit of green, a whole lot of brown, and some blue skies here. And we are live in Quartzsite, Arizona right now. And this is going to be an exciting weekend. There's no question about it. There's a lot of guns here. There's a lot of people rolling in. My old friend Bob Wright's in here. And I would suspect that Bob Mitzel is probably with him. I don't know how many of his group that he brought. I'll be seeing him right after the show. A lot of things going on. And it appears that from what I understand, the law enforcement here is a little bit on edge, which I can believe that. If you listened to the show yesterday, you heard and found out that it doesn't seem that they're going to receive any help from any of the surrounding communities. And the sheriff here, his old-time buddy, will probably be about the only help that he gets. And I don't say that meaning that he's going to need help. It's just that I know that he wanted help. And we'll see how all this turns out. But there's folks steadily pulling in. We're broadcasting to you right now live from Vito's RV Park right outside of Quartzsite, Arizona. This is the happening place. This is where it's at. I met Vito himself a while ago. And thanks, guys. I appreciate you. I was worried about the sound. I have a great big fan blowing by me. We're sitting outside right now. And we've got a canopy over us, but it's 113 degrees, and sun shining bright, and it's just a beautiful day for a rebellion. Some other things that happened here. Number one, remember two or three weeks ago we told you that Jason and I and Amy had stopped in Socorro to get fuel, and we found an old ratty flag flying across the street. And of course, Amy talked me out of just taking it, so I went and put a note on the door. Well, we went back not once but twice this weekend and found that they have removed that flag. Of course, they haven't put up a new one yet, but I don't care about that. I just care about them taking that old ratty one down. Happened over the weekend at our latest crusade, where we went down to the emergency tree cutting plan that they're implementing down in Otero County. Learned a lot down there. We found out that we are not alone in our quest for freedom and liberty and all things right and normal. All gun related, of course, that may vary just a little bit tonight. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, but anyway, the Shooting Bench, it is the 11th of December, and Jason and I are tucked away, hiding in a little cubby hole in Caldwell, Idaho, trying to sneak through here without making too much to do here. I didn't tell you what they told me down at Walgreens a while ago, did I? You know, I went into Walgreens to get some stuff, and there's two gals back there, and of course, I was wearing my gun, as I always do. And she said, well, how do you like it here? And I said, oh, it's fine, but I don't live here. We're just traveling through. She said, where are you from? And I told her, and she said, well, I figured it was someplace like that. You carrying a gun. So that's pretty much what everybody does around here. And I said, yeah, we thought we'd go ahead and cut our trip a little short tonight and stay here instead of going on into Oregon. We had a little extra time. We could have made it on into Oregon, and She said, oh, yeah, we treat carriers a whole lot better here than they do over there. I'm glad you stopped. Well, you guys are not going to believe this. I'm going to have to put a playlist on here for a couple of minutes. I just heard the dogs barking, and I went outside, and there's a bear in the goat pen, if you can believe that. The bear is dead now, and I'm going to have to probably call the game department here, but he is inside the goat pen, and a 22 Magnum fixed him right up. So I'm not going to interrupt the show other than I am going to have to play a playlist here for a few minutes, and I'll be back in here in just a little bit. So stand by. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No explanation, no reconciliation, no let's talk it over number I can call. Goodbye says it all.